fighting against injustice across Connecticut. Melissa in the Morning checks in with the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Let my people go. Your decree, O God, commanding that all your children be freed from the bonds of slavery. Today we celebrate the breaking of the chains which have held back millions of Americans with disabilities. Today we celebrate the granting to them of full citizenship and access to their promised land of work, service, and community.
Today, we are recognizing a piece of legislation that over 30 years later has really impacted the lives of so many across our nation, including obviously right here in Connecticut. We are talking about the 34th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, also known as ADA. Joining us now to talk about the history, the scope of it, and how it is directly impacting Connecticut residents, Catherine Spain is back with us, a human rights attorney for the Legal Division of the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. Catherine, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Melissa. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And this is a topic that is so near and dear to my heart. As you and a lot of my audience members know, my younger brother is autistic. And so the what's amazing is the ADA is the same age as I am. I just turned 34 this month. And so it's one of those things that has resonated with me almost my entire life personally. And I never forget the anniversary of it because it actually coincides with the same month that I was born. And it's something that has been we've seen impactful for people like my brother. So I'm so excited to talk about this personally, but I also know it is something that touches many, many people who listen to WICC. So I thank you for tackling it this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Thrilled to be here. And that personal connection is incredible. I didn't know you were born in 1990. And of course, this year, like you said, it's the 34th anniversary. Did you just play an audio recording of when this law was passed?
Yes, I did. That's what you were hearing.
That was pretty amazing. I've never heard that before. Thank you. That was amazing.
You're very welcome. Not a problem. Yeah, it's pretty cool. When I could do a deep dive, I will say the internet is very helpful. But when I could do a nice deep dive into things and I can play a little bit of audio to also just give the significance of, I mean, I don't even know if we realized over three decades ago the significance of this piece of legislation, because, you know, when you think about it, Catherine, so many things pass on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And we don't realize the significance sometimes of things that are going on nationally and how it could have a direct impact on us here in our state. I mean, there are a lot of things that happen that, you know, may or may not. But this is something that every single day there are so many individuals who are living with a disability. And prior to 34 years ago, there were a lot of disadvantages and there were a lot of discriminatory actions that were totally acceptable. I shouldn't say acceptable, but they were basically, right, you couldn't fight them. There was nothing that was really defending those with disabilities.
Right. And as I prepared for today, I appreciated better how there have been ideas that, well, if somebody has a physical disability that I can see, then I sort of just discount that person and I won't give them the same job or opportunity or education that I'd give somebody who's not in a wheelchair or who doesn't use a cane. And we sort of start to think about how we think. And thank you for pointing out your example with your brother, because the fact is a lot of people are impacted either by a disability or a family member who has one.
Exactly. And I think, too, you know, over the years, Catherine, I think people have become more and more open about it. But I can remember very distinctly growing up in the 90s. And while my family was, I would say, more of an outsider family, we were very open and transparent about my brother. And we were, you know, we were like that with neighbors, with the schools. I mean, everything. It was still pretty common, to be honest, for families in the late 80s, early 90s to institutionalize and to kind of hush the situation if you had a child with a neurological disorder, for example. So like you're saying, if you physically, it was so clear that, oh, okay, this child is clearly dealing with something, that was almost looked at differently than those who had, I'm going to call them invisible disabilities. Like my brother was, you know, looked like, if you want to call it, a normal person, and could even I would say on the surface, could kind of conduct himself in a way that you would not detect. You'd think, okay, something might be a little bit off, but you wouldn't see or understand right away that maybe this person was dealing with a challenge that you don't have to deal with. So this law really spoke for, like you're saying, those who it wasn't so obvious that they were struggling.
Yes, and actually considering children kind of pops out if you look at a brief history. There's some history behind the Americans with Disabilities Act that's interesting to consider. Americans campaigned for disability rights back to the 1800s. In the 1930s, a group called the League of the Physically Handicapped fought for employment for people with disabilities. The Rehabilitation Act of 1973, sometimes we refer to it as Section 504, banned discrimination against people with disabilities in programs that receive federal funding. And then here's the part where the stuff about the kids kind of pops out, Melissa. The Education of All Handicapped Children Act established that disabled students were entitled to be educated with other children in public schools. And that's really the concept of inclusion. You hear that word a lot.
Right.
That law in its current form is the IDEA statute, the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act. And of course, the ADA, it's divided into various titles, which is part of why it has such a broad reach. And it prohibits discrimination against individuals with disabilities in areas of public life, employment, education, transportation, and in places that are open to the public or places of public accommodation.
So to just kind of make sure that people understand, you know, with that definition, you're talking about you can't tell somebody that they can't move into your complex because of a disability. You can't deny somebody a job, per se, because of a disability. You can't even say, I can't accommodate, you know, a ramp coming into your workplace because of a disability, right? Just to give some idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the various titles kind of pertain to what you just said. Title I covers employment. Title II of the ADA applies to state and local governments. And then Title III covers public accommodations and services operated by private entities. And then Title IV is telecommunications. And Title V has miscellaneous provisions, including a prohibition against retaliation. But there is, you might say, well, what's the limit? Governments must provide equal opportunity unless there's an undue hardship, Melissa. And as far as private entities, there are cases where, yeah, you have to let somebody participate or be included, but there might be a question when it comes to a private entity as to who's going to pay for the alteration or the modification. The government has a little bit more burden than a private party, but the law is indeed quite broad. And so what you said is true. One way or another, you can't exclude people based on their disability.
We just passed the 34th anniversary date of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It was July 26, 1990, that this historic civil rights law was signed, and has made a profound impact on many, many people across the country over those three plus decades, including right here in Connecticut. Joining us to talk more about this morning, we have Catherine Spain, who's a human rights attorney for the legal division at the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. Do you have any stories, Catherine, that you could share with us? I know we are talking about, obviously, the scope of this law and what it's really meant. But sometimes when we could see a very concrete example, it's a lot easier to really connect with something. And certainly how profound this piece of legislation really has been for our country, but specifically here in Connecticut. Do you have anything you could share with us?
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. We can see the effects of the ADA all around us. In fact, from in their own words, how the Americans with Disabilities Act changed people's lives, which is a series that was on National Public Radio. Here are two people who have lived it. In the words of Judy human who was born in Brooklyn in 1947. In 1949, I got polio. When I was 5 years old, okay, so that would have been 1952, my mother took me to school to register me for kindergarten, and that was the first time we really understood that having a disability meant not being equal, because the principal denied my admission to the school. I was considered a fire hazard, and so I did not go to kindergarten. We used to be disregarded, not having ramps or accessible bathrooms, not being able to get across the street, not being able to get on buses or ride the trains, being denied the right to go to school. And then, as we were going to university, being denied the right to study in fields that we wanted to, because universities had prejudice about the kinds of jobs they thought we could do. And she says one of the important parts of celebrating the ADA is what's going to happen in the future. The average person needs to understand why what the disability community is arguing for is not just for us, but for everybody.
Mm. Can you imagine being denied going to kindergarten because they thought you were a fire hazard? Like, that's, I'm sorry, but that was to me, wow. I was speechless when she said that. I didn't even know how to react. I couldn't respond. I had to take that in for a second. That's wild.
I know. It's wild. And it just shows that, you know, people felt that they could say no rather than come up with a solution. So there's another example that's a different. This gentleman was born with a visible birth defect, and he has his own website. In the words of Jim Hutchings, I was born with a disability. I have short arms. I'm missing fingers, and I don't have thumbs. The ADA has made simple things like opening doors easier for me. Having elevators and ramps in public areas means I don't have to carry heavy objects, luggage, anything like that upstairs. You don't have spherical doorknobs in most public buildings anymore, because the ADA's guidelines say opening a door should be able to be accomplished with one hand and should not require tight grasping or twisting of the wrist. So most lever-operated or push mechanisms are acceptable designs. They're easier for people like me without thumbs to grasp. And also people with arthritis or people who are just carrying a lot. It makes the simple task of opening a door much more accessible for a wider variety of people. And I have to admit, I hadn't really thought about the fact that the only spherical doorknobs I encounter are usually in people's homes.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. It's funny that you say that, because so a lot of times I think the average person, unless you're going through something, we don't even realize the significance of something like that. And it's not to say that we're closed-minded. It's just that until you brought that to my attention, I thought to myself, oh yeah, like I'm looking at exactly what you just said. I'm looking at the doors at Connoisseur Media. They're all those levers. Where it's not a doorknob, it's like a lever, like you're saying. And I thought to myself, oh, that's got to be in compliance, I would think, with ADA.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And so that happens, and we all kind of just get used to it.
Right.
And in the same way, we try to become more inclusive and more accepting and more used to, you know, meeting people who have differences and are sort of differently abled, or Jim Hutchings says he doesn't like the term disabled, but he recognizes that sometimes he needs to use it to communicate. Mm. And Melissa, there is a website, ada.gov, that has lots of good resources, and the CHRO website, and following us on Facebook and Instagram, you can find out more about the ADA and about civil rights in general.
I think it's always great to brush up on it, because, as I mentioned, and I'm always very transparent with my audience, Catherine, that even though I grew up, you know, with somebody who had a neurological issue and has bloomed beautifully, I mean, is literally one of my favorite people on the planet. I'm going away with him in about 2 weeks, a little less than that. We're going to our first ever G23 convention together, something we've always wanted to do for about 12 years now. And just me and my little brother are going, just the two of us. I'm really excited. So he's just one of my favorite people. But for as connected as we are, and as much as I've grown so aware of these things, like you just pointed out to me there's something that I didn't even realize was kind of in compliance and probably wouldn't have even been that way if not for an ADA in place. So even if you feel like I have firsthand experience, I get it. There's always something that we can learn and just be aware of. And I think that's a really great thing. So resources like the CHRO, certainly going to the state government website and looking them up, or going to ADA.gov. It's always fantastic to keep learning more and to keep including more and more people. And so, Catherine, I thank you so much for all of that. And certainly we will share those links as well with your podcast on our website, WACC600.com. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. Thanks for letting the CHRO do our civil rights check-in with you regularly. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's what we're here for. I love it. Catherine Spain, again, who's a human rights attorney in the legal division for the Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities on WICC. And as I mentioned, we will have resources like the ADA.gov website and more attached to her podcast when we post it at 10 o'clock this morning.